Welcome to SCOTUSCast, Federal Jurisdiction and Injuries Abroad Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On December 1, 2015, the Supreme Court decided OBB Personenwerker AG v. Sachs. This case concerns the scope of the commercial activity exception to the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. Under this exception, sovereign immunity does not bar a lawsuit based on a commercial activity carried out in the United States by a foreign state. In this case, Carol Sachs sued the Austrian National Railroad when she suffered serious injuries while attempting to board an Austrian train. The question is whether Sachs's purchase of her rail pass in the United States brought her suit within the commercial activity exception. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit held that it did. By a vote of 9-0, the Supreme Court reversed the judgment of the Ninth Circuit. Chief Justice Roberts delivered the opinion for a unanimous court, holding that Sachs's suit was based on the railway's conduct in Austria, and therefore outside the FSIA's commercial activity exception. To discuss the case, we have Edwin D. Williamson, who is of counsel at Sullivan & Cromwell, LLP. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Williamson.
Under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, foreign states and their agencies are immune from suit in United States courts unless the suit falls within one of the Act's specific exceptions. The determining issue in the case of OBB Personenwerker v. Sachs was the scope of one such exception, the first clause of the commercial activity exception in Section 1605A2 of the Act, where, quote, the action is based upon a commercial activity carried on in the United States by a foreign state, close quotes. There was another issue before the court which consumed a good bit of attention in the lower courts. That was what controls for purposes of determining when an entity is an agent of a foreign state under the commercial activity exception at issue. The express definition of agency in the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, the factors set forth in the court's 1983 case of First National City Bank v. Banco Para el Comercio Exterior de Cuba, or BANSEC, or common law principles of agency. Given the court's decision on the based upon issue, it was not necessary for it to reach the agency issue. Respondent Carol Sachs, a resident of California, purchased in the United States a Eurail pass for rail travel in Europe. While attempting to board a train in Austria operated by the state-owned railway, Petitia OBB, she fell onto the tracks. The moving train crushed her legs, resulting in amputations of both legs above the knees. She sued OBB in the District Court for Northern California, arguing that her suit was not barred by foreign sovereign immunity because it was, quote, based upon, close quotes, the railway's sale of the pass to her in the U.S. The Supreme Court disagreed and concluded that her action was instead based upon the railway's conduct in Austria, therefore holding that her suit fell outside the commercial activity exception and was barred by sovereign immunity. In her suit in the district court, Sachs asserted five causes of action: negligence, strict liability for design defects in the train and platform, strict failure for failure to warn of those design defects, breach of an implied warranty of merchantability for providing a train and platform unsafe for their intended uses, and breach of an implied warranty of fitness for providing a train and platform unfit for their intended uses. OBB claimed sovereign immunity and moved to dismiss the suit for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. The district court granted OBB's motion in an unpublished opinion, finding, quote, the connection between OBB and the ticket seller too attenuated to establish subject matter jurisdiction, close quotes, where plaintiff fails to establish that commercial activity was in fact undertaken by a foreign state as required by the Act, essentially deciding the case on the agency issue. Thus, OBB, as an instrumentality of the Republic of Austria, was immune from suit. Two judges on the Ninth Circuit panel agreed with the district court's judgment, but not on the rationale for affirming it. Adopting the district court's reasoning, Judge Tallman agreed that the ticket sale could not be attributed to OBB, relying on BANSEC. Judge Baer, by contrast, assumed arguendo that an agency relationship existed between OBB and the seller of the ticket. He concluded, however, that Sachs's suit was not based upon the commercial activity OBB carried on in the United States because the allegedly negligent acts and omissions at issue took place in Austria. Judge Gould voted to reverse the district court. On rehearing en banc, the Court of Appeals reversed. In an 8-3 opinion written by Judge Gould and essentially adopting his earlier reasoning, the en banc court first held that the common law agency principles control whether a foreign state carries on commercial activity in the United States for purposes of the act. Second, the en banc court held that Sachs's action was based upon commercial activity because an element of each of her claims arose from OBB's sale of Sachs's ticket. With respect to her negligence claim, the ticket sale formed a common carrier passenger relationship between Sachs and OBB, giving rise under the applicable California substantive law to OBB's duty of utmost care. Similarly, the Court of Appeals reasoned that a transaction between a seller and a consumer was a necessary prerequisite to proving her other state law claims for design defects, failure to warn, and breaches of implied warranties. Third, the en banc court held that OBB's railway enterprise had substantial contact with the United States because it involved the regular marketing, selling, and arranging of foreign travel in the United States. OBB did not contest this last holding in the Supreme Court. Judge O'Scanlan dissented, arguing that the standard announced in BANSEC should control whether an entity is an agent of a foreign state. In a separate dissent, then Chief Judge Kosinski agreed with Judge O'Scanlan that the U.S. agent's ticket sale should not be attributed to OBB. He also maintained that all of Sachs' claims failed the based upon requirement because the injury and any negligence occurred in Austria. Before getting to what happened at the Supreme Court, let me discuss the Supreme Court's 1993 holding in Saudi Arabia versus Nelson. Let me also note that I was on the government's amicus brief in that case as the State Department's legal advisor. Nelson and his wife filed an action for damages against the petitioners, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, a Saudi hospital, and the hospital's purchasing agent in the United States. They alleged, among other things, that the respondent Nelson suffered personal injuries as a result of the Saudi government's unlawful detention and torture of him and the other petitioner's failure to warn him of the possibility of severe retaliatory action if he attempted to report on-the-job hazards. The Nelsons asserted in their jurisdiction under the first clause of the commercial activity exception. The district court dismissed for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals reversed, concluding that Nelson's recruitment and hiring were commercial activities upon which the Nelson's action was based for purposes of Section 1605A2. The Supreme Court held that the Nelson's action was not based upon a commercial activity within the meaning of the first clause of 1605A2, and the Act therefore conferred no jurisdiction over their suit. In reaching its conclusion, the Court explained that while the Act does not define based upon, quote, the phrase is read most naturally to mean those elements of a claim that, if proven, would entitle a plaintiff to relief under his theory of the case. While these arguably commercial activities led to the conduct that eventually injured the Nelsons, they are not the basis for the Nelson suit, close quotes. The court also held that the Saudis' tortious conflict failed to qualify as commercial activity within the meaning of the act because the intentional conduct alleged, that is, the Saudi government's wrongful arrest, imprisonment, and torture of Nelson, boiled down to abuse of the power of the police. Finally, in the last paragraph of the majority opinion, the court dismissed the Nelsons' attempt to claim failure to warn as, quote, merely a semantic ploy. According to the court, a plaintiff could recast virtually any claim of intentional tort committed by sovereign act as a claim of failure to warn. Quote, to give jurisdictional significance to this feint of language would effectively thwart the act's manifest purpose to codify the restrictive theory of foreign sovereign immunity. The court's opinion was written by Justice Souter. It was concurred in by Chief Justice Rehnquist and Justices O'Connor, Scalia, Thomas, and Kennedy, except that Justice Kennedy dissented from the last paragraph, the dismissal of the failure to warn as a semantic ploy. Justice White concurred in the judgment on the grounds that the commercial conduct upon which the Nelsons based their complaint was not carried on in the United States, basically disagreeing with the commercial versus sovereign distinction made by the majority, but implicitly supporting the four-justice holding on the failure to warn issue. Back to our case. In its briefs to the Supreme Court, OBB basically argued that Sachs's claims were not based upon the ticket sale, but rather on the tort that occurred in Austria. Sachs argued that the court should look at the overall activities of OBB, that is, running a railway, including its ticket-selling activities in the U.S. The brief sought to distance the case from Nelson by emphasizing that the holding in Nelson that the activities of the Saudi government were not commercial activities. Although the agency issue was not decided by the court, I think it is worth noting for the historical record that the government, in its amicus brief, supported the Ninth Circuit's holding on the agency issue, which is similar to the position we took in our brief in Nelson. The unanimous opinion in this case was written by Chief Justice Roberts. I would summarize the decision as a strong affirmation of the based-upon holding in Nelson. In every refutation of the Ninth Circuit's opinion, it relied on its holding in Nelson. In refuting the Ninth Circuit's holding that Sachs's claims were based upon the sale of the Eurorail Pass because the sale of the Pass provided, quote, an element, close quotes, of each of her claims, the chief wrote, quote, under Nelson, however, the mere fact that the sale of the Eurorail Pass would establish a single element of a claim is insufficient to demonstrate that the claim is based upon that sale for purposes of 1605A2. Further, quote, our analysis in Nelson is flatly incompatible with the one-element approach. Nelson instead teaches that an action is based upon the particular conduct that constitutes the gravamen of the suit. Rather than individually analyzing each of the Nelson's causes of action, we zeroed in on the core of their suit, the Saudi sovereign acts that actually injured them. Close quotes. The court went on to explain that under Nelson's analysis, the conduct constituting the gravamen of Sachs's suit plainly occurred abroad. All of her claims turned on the same tragic episode in Austria, allegedly caused by wrongful conduct and dangerous conditions in Austria, which led to injuries suffered in Austria. The chief summarized Sachs's strict liability claim for failure to warn as an allegation, for example, quote, that OBB should have alerted her to the dangerous conditions at the Innsbruck train station when OBB sold to the Ural pass to her in the United States, close quotes. Said the chief, quote, under any theory of the case that Sachs presents, however, there is nothing wrongful about the sale of the Ural pass standing alone. Without the existence of the unsafe boarding conditions in Innsbruck, there would have been nothing to warn Sachs about when she bought the Ural pass. However, Sachs frames her suit, the incident in Innsbruck remains at its foundation. Continuing, the chief said, as we explained in Nelson, any other approach would allow plaintiffs to evade the act's restrictions through artful pleading. The chief proceeded to quote extensively from the last paragraph in Nelson, from which Justice Kennedy dissented. Quote, any plaintiff could recast virtually any claim of intentional tort as a claim of failure to warn, simply by charging the defendant with an obligation to announce its own tortuous propensity before indulging it. To allow such recasting of a complaint, we reasoned, would, quote, give jurisdictional significance to a feint of language, close quotes, thereby, quote, effectively thwarting the act's manifest purpose, close quotes. Finally, the court held that Sachs's, quote, new theory that OBB's entire railway enterprise constitutes the commercial activity that has the requisite substantial contact with the United States because OBB reaches out to American customers by marketing and selling Ural passes in the United States, close quotes, was never, quote, presented to any lower court and is therefore forfeited, close quotes. A couple of closing points. I've not spent any time describing the oral argument for several reasons. At the oral argument, there were indications that Sachs's attempt to distinguish Nelson because the activities were not held to be commercial activities might have the support of some justices. This was clearly not the case. I was particularly surprised that Justice Kennedy joined in the strong endorsement of the paragraph in Nelson from which he had dissented. In other words, very little happened in the oral argument that led me to believe that the court would render a unanimous decision. All of this is a reminder of how unreliable are outcome predictions based on an oral argument. I'd also note that a total of 23 judges participated in the decisions, one district court judge, 13 Ninth Circuit judges, and 9 Supreme Court justices. Only 2 of the 14 lower court judges reached the same conclusion as the unanimous Supreme Court, both judges Beyer and Kosinski are regular participants in Federalist Society activities.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.